Today, what we're going to talk about is pursuing connection with others, even in the middle of the COVID season. We're all doing our best to mind our distances, wear the masks, all the things that we need to do to stay safe. But in the process of doing all of that, I don't want us to lose sight of a very important warning that's given to us in the Bible. In fact, we come across this in the creation narrative. As God goes through each act of creation, he gives an expression of satisfaction to what he creates. It goes like this in Genesis chapter 1. We read, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. God called the dry ground land, the waters seas, and God saw that it was good. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. God set lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. God made all sorts of animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good." Then we get to chapter 2, verse 18, and after the creation of mankind, we read this, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." So we read, good, 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 and then not good. So set apart for a moment the implications of marriage and reproduction and just hear what God has to say about the way he's designed all of us. Flying solo does not best suit God's design for people. It's not good for us to be alone. Take a look at this observation from a New Testament professor. He said, "God astoundingly declared his creation of man to be not good because it was solitary. God was displeased that man was alone. There was one solitary individual, but he had no one else with whom he could be together. He was alone." Now, if we go back to verse 18, and we see where God says it's not good to be alone. Alone has to be a reference to connection with other people. Because Adam, this man, had unhindered relationship with the Lord, and he had the companionship of animals. So the thing that was missing in his life was his connection with other people. And to that end, he was alone. So we can deduce from that, listen, it is not good for anyone to lack meaningful connection with other people. Now, let's fast forward from Genesis to Matthew, and we're going to travel from humanity's beginnings in the earth to the beginning of the church in the earth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, this is the first time we read the word church in the Bible. So of all the words that Jesus could choose to describe what we understand as church, he picked this word, which in the Greek language is ekklesia. And ekklesia is a combination of two words. Ek means out of. Klesia means called or calling. So an ekklesia is to be called out and to be called together, to assemble, to gather. In fact, this word ekklesia was used in ancient times to describe a militia, people called out of citizen ranks to join and form and gather as an army. So when Jesus said that he would have a church that would be an ekklesia, he meant that he was calling people together to gather and have meaningful connections with one another. Now, since March, we've been having conversations about what should we do as a church. Should we meet? Should we not meet? Churches all across the country are having this conversation. And as we do, there's a fundamental question that kind of undergirds all of this conversation. That is, what is the nature of the church if it doesn't gather, since Jesus said his church would be an ecclesia, a gathering? Now, while this church conversation has been happening, at the same time, there's been healthcare professionals who are raising concerns regarding epidemic measures. So all the things that are necessary for mitigation, mask wearing and distancing, all those things that are necessary, there is a shadow side of their presence. In this article that's entitled "The Double Pandemic of Social Isolation in COVID-19, the author raises this concern. She writes, "Social isolation policies must consider the impact of reduced or changed social connection across all sectors." The article points to some possible unintended consequences, including things like increased loneliness, which has driven up mental health concerns and substance abuse, domestic violence, and other problematic health behaviors. It talks about emotional distress has tripled. There's a higher risk of suicide. Now, because we're having to turn to digital technologies instead of face-to-face contact, it's even triggering higher feelings of isolation. And so the article concludes by saying, "We do not yet know what lingering long-term public health effects the pandemic may foreshadow. If the prevalence rates of social isolation and loneliness remain elevated or increase, such changes are likely to lead to a greater public health burden in the longer term." Now, when we take in all of this kind of information, we have to do a couple of things. One is we've got to embrace our design, the way God made us, and we got to hear his warning. It is not good for us to be alone. At the same time, we have to engage Jesus' call for the church to be an ecclesia, a people called out and called together to make meaningful connection with others. So here's what I'm asking that we all learn this Christmas and put into practice as we move into the new year. I want us to listen, prioritize one another and to fight for ways to ecclesia. Fight for ways to gather and connect. Now, again, as COVID started, churches were initially just considering, like, how do we get through this spike of COVID with a commitment to love our neighbors, to keep everybody safe? And so churches like ours began to implement ways and measures that we could keep people healthy. And we're going to keep doing that. We are committed to loving our neighbors. But we also have to now start, listen, to raise another issue. And that issue is, it's not good for people to be alone. Listen to this from Bishop T.D. Jakes. He says, "We are not created to be alone." Whether you take that from a theological perspective or whether you take it from a biological perspective. We're not a species that does well in isolation. When you look at the criminal justice system, isolation is a form of punishment used in prison. So you know isolation is detrimental. Let me tell you why this is so important. Even though it was encouraging to see this past week that a vaccine has been approved and it will begin to be implemented soon, there won't be a sudden change in the COVID struggles that we're walking through. In fact, over the next few months, all experts point to actually things could get worse. So this warning came out this week along with the promise of the vaccine. Dr. Douglas Brinkley from Rice University says the next few months promise to bring the worst of this pandemic to our door. We're heading into the darkest days of our war on COVID-19. Winter could be the worst U.S. health crisis in history. So here's our point today. As much as we would like to kind of move on from COVID and say it's just going to be over tomorrow, it's not. As much as we'd like to kind of turn the page on, you know, 2020 to 2021 and just go, now we can move forward, everything's back to normal, it's not going to be. Over the next few months, we've got a real challenge in front of us. And here's what I'm issuing by way of turning point. I want us to prioritize one another over the next few months and fight for how we can be connected and gathered as a people. Yeah, we're going to continue to love our neighbor, but we're also going to be concerned about God's warning. It's not good for us to be alone. And we want to answer Jesus' call to be the church, an ecclesia. So here's what that means. We're going to continue to gather on Sundays as we have. But some of the other things that we do as a church family to try to generate connection with one another, over the next few months, we're going to have to roll out some new initiatives. In the month of January, we're going to be sharing with you some ways that you can connect with one another. Remain safe, but ways that you can get connected. We've done that using small groups in the past, but we can't reassemble our small groups right now. And we are not willing to just let people be alone. No, we're going to prioritize one another and we're going to fight for ecclesia. So in January, as we have these new features start to roll out, will you please join me in prioritizing one another? We don't want anybody to be alone in our body. So here's my ask. Make the decision to prioritize connection with others. And secondly, fight for that connection. That means it's going to be awkward, more effort we're going to have to show towards each other. It's just going to be more difficult, but it's got to be a priority. And so our encouragement to one another is we are in this next season, this next chapter of the COVID fight, we are going to be committed to one another and fight for ecclesia. Now, as we bring our message to a close, we're going to practice communion this morning. We're going to do that live. If you are joining us online, you can go get a cracker, go get some juice, just something that you can practice communion. But we're going to use this as a way to demonstrate our priority. Jesus died to have a forever family. He doesn't want any of us to be alone. And so our practice of communion today is to press in to that reality. We are for one another. And so today, as we join in communion, let's be ecclesia, a gathering of God's people connected to one another.